The Diabetic Show. My name's Mark Philwett.
Dobie Maxwell, riding sidecar.
And we welcome you once again. Roundtable discussion about diabetes in general. Today we'll talk about complications.
Well, I don't think we can cover all of complications in one show.
No, we will be scratching, literally, the surface. We'll talk about a couple of the pathies. The retinopathy, the neuropathy.
All the big words that if you get it on the Scrabble board, you get the triple word score and 50 points.
It's just
all the apathies.
One of those shows. We'll just scratch on it with our she's still a guest. I mean, she's in so many of these shows, and much thanks.
Have you ever seen the movie Talk Radio?
No.
It was Eric Bogosian. It's a movie probably from the late 80s, early 90s.
I'm far too young.
Yes, and he was a young upshot talk show host, and he was the one throwing darts at the old grizzled veteran. And you see him on the air, and he's making all these bold statements, and the grizzled veteran looks at him like, shut up, I'm doing my show here. And the very next scene, the old grizzled veteran's gone, and Eric Bogosian is by himself. So my point is, in about 3 weeks, Donna will be here by herself telling things that are the way they are, and you and I will be gone. So let us just enjoy the 3 weeks that we have left on the air and bring the fear and bring diabetes down to earth, which is what we're doing. You know, you're a type 1, I'm a type 2, and we're talking about it in plain and simple terms, and Donna basically corrects us. That's why she's here. That's why we're here, and you're listening. That's why you're here, to not have a fearful morning of your cornflakes. You know, oh, I'm putting sugar on my cornflakes. I'm going to have an apathy by noon.
I don't think Donna could do this show without us. I mean, if they got rid of us.
Oh, I know very well she could do without us. Talk. Just keep going.
One out of three people in some way are diabetic. It would take her all morning.
Yeah, that's the thing. Or know somebody. Until I was diagnosed, I had no idea. It's something that somebody else gets.
True enough.
And now it's to the point where you need to know people. It's like buying a car. Oh, it's a Honda. I have a Honda. You have a Honda. Yours is a four-door. Mine's a two-door. Now, are you a type two or are you a type one? I didn't know what a carbohydrate was until June of 2011.
And your life changed forever.
I think I told you, you know, I thought I was feeling a little bit sick. So before I went in to get checked at the emergency room, what did I have? Three pieces of watermelon and a Mountain Dew. That's good for diabetes.
A real Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and then you said, you know, roll the dice. What's your blood sugar? 500. Hey, let it ride, baby. Let it ride.
The week I was diagnosed, I was doing the healthy kick. So for me, it was fruit juice.
Whole wheat ding-dongs.
Oh, please. Hello.
Fruit juice?
Yeah. And you have to have something to wash down the Reese's. And that worked out fine for me. Let's go to the news. We'll do a short segment here in front, and then the backside, we'll be talking about these complications with Donna Swanson from United Hospital System. Big help on the show, and thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Have you caught the meds issue? I have to talk about it. Sugar shock. Insulin costs, the cost to be a diabetic in the last 10 years, up 300%.
Now, I want to ask you something, Mark. In my conspiracy theory, my pessimistic mind, in a past life, I had a radio show about conspiracy theories and the paranormal. So forgive my mindset. Is the mafia involved? I'm serious. There's millions and billions of dollars. All of a sudden, insulin is triple. Come on. The Gambino family's not trafficking insulin over the border.
Well, the deal was.
It's more profitable than heroin.
It was originally, I don't have the names in front of me, it was Charles Best was one of the people who found insulin.
For Corleone.
With a student. Mm-hmm. They discovered insulin, and they sold the patent to the government of Canada, $1.
For one loony. Yes,
one
a dollar.
One loony dollar. Mm-hmm. Because that way...
For the good of the people.
Like a Salk approach.
Wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, keep going.
You know, it was easy for me to feel your way, Dobie, but I've talked to professionals, and there's actually an expenditure. If you want to go over the numbers, and these
follow the money. What's the expenditure?
Rough numbers. They want to say with this year, $24 billion in diabetic expenses. Now, I don't know if that breaks down into purely just the meds or everything it takes to be a diabetic, but $24 billion, they're looking for that number to double in the next 10 years again.
Okay.
But at least they're spending on pharma. Big pharma is actually spending big money on the pipeline for future drugs. Mm-hmm. The different types of insulin. Now, we've gone past the cow and the pig, and now we've moved on, and I really don't know what I'm talking about at this point. I know I use Humalog. I use Lantus.
Lantus is the pig, is it not?
Well, no. It's going by short and long term. I'm a type 1, or is what we would like to say, we are the big diabetics, whereas not quite you, but you get the idea. That's why you
were the Navy SEALs.
And you'd be
we're
the guy
in the rear with the gear. The Type 2s are in the back there. We kind of think we could have an Oreo once in a while, and we watch you squirm every time we drink a Coke.
In other words, we're the ones that, hear the bullets. So anyway, the point being, they're at least spending the money. The money is in the pipeline, and they do say we need to spend this money or at least charge this money so we can have future drugs down.
But who are they charging it to and what for?
Line. Well, again, we can talk about this, and it's not very fair. If you were to go in yourself and buy a little vial, I don't think they sell vials anymore, do they? No, they do. Well, they sell shapes.
They got a vending machine.
So you get your vial. The
little football helmets, Next.
The vial is going to cost you, Dobie, more than it would you, Dobie, some huge insurance company.
Correct.
Why we're never to that point. We don't get the, I don't know. So that's another show that I'll let you chair. Just in case.
But do you see my point? As I get old and crotchety, you kids get off my lawn. I realize I'm an old man with my blinker on, but I look at it now, I'm thinking, I don't see this whole, okay, you sell it to the government of Canada for a buck. Thank you very much. Now $24 billion, cha-ching.
And I'm thinking,
red flag. The Canada does have a red flag. Red and white, but it's red.
When we do the farmer show, I will let you do all the questions.
I will.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll be the guy in the back. I'll be your Robin.
And pointing at me, so when the assassin's bullet comes through the non-bulletproof windows here, it's like, that's the guy to shoot. I don't care. I'm going down for the people.
And that's my luck. It would just whiz by you and hit me in the pancreas, which doesn't even work. So let's take the break here, and we'll come back, because we have to talk about complications.
We've opened up Pandora's box. Time to get a mop.
Retinopathy,
come back.
Neuropathy, and we have a couple questions. By the way, you could stop by the website, thediabeticshow.com. The Facebook page looks amazing. Facebook, you get that.
And I want to give credit. Mark did the entire thing. Lake County Geeks is the company that he represents very, very well. So please go check out our website and ask questions, too, because if we don't know it, Donna will.
Female-owned.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Diabetic Show. Mark Philwett.
He is type 1. I'm W. Maxwell. Type 2, we are here to take the fear out of the very serious subject of diabetes for the average person so we can talk intelligently and have our better health worldwide.
Intelligently, yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, it is intelligent.
And we also like to bring in Troy McDonald, producer, the guy who points. His picture, it will be on the website.
Who's eating a Milky Way bar mocking us as we speak.
Is he again?
Yes.
Last time it was Three Musketeers. It's the subtle jabs, which are the tastiest.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And I'm eating a bowl of sand.
12 years you're going to lose being a diabetic. That's what if you look at the numbers and the tests, they say on average, and again, are you talking about the U.S. study or the Great Britain study? Anywhere between 5 years and 12 years off your life. So,
well, that's why we were here. I mean, Donna Swanson, who will be on in a second, told us when she was first on about this lady that I believe she lived to be 90 years old, and she handled it really, really well. And that's, I think, why we're here, to help each other. I was afraid when I first got diagnosed that I was better. Now I'm off the wagon again. I need to come back on the wagon. So with the help of everybody, that's why the show here, hopefully you'll be regular listeners and regular participators, and we're going to deal out some useful information, not just a bunch of poppycock, balderdash, ballyhoo, and other things that aren't useful.
He draws the line at ballyhoo.
I do. No ballyhoo in this show.
Let's bring in, if she's still here.
She's in our soundproof waiting room.
Donna Swanson from United Hospital System. Again, Donna, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thanks for putting up with us, too. I know we goof around a little bit, but we never want to take away your real credibility. I mean, you do this for a living. We appreciate you being here. We don't want it to be clinical when you come on. Right. We want you to be a real person.
Well, I appreciate that. And diabetes is real, and it affects all of us.
Well,
really?
You in particular, you at the home front as well. We talked about this with your daughter, type 1.
Yep, absolutely. We have lots of type 2 in our family, too. And really, the reality comes down to it. Every single person is at risk for diabetes in some form or fashion.
Well,
or know somebody.
Or know somebody, yeah, absolutely.
You add up the type 1s, the type 2s, and then I'm seeing there's a category 1.5s, whatever that is, and then you have a pre-diabetic. So it's almost who isn't.
Right. And then we have gestational diabetes. I mean, there's
That's right.
We're just learning so much more about diabetes than any other time in history. And
but isn't you're learning a lot more in a shorter period of time. It seems like you're just getting thrown papers, read, learn, read. This
yes.
is new, this is new, this is old, forget this, learn this.
Absolutely. The research is just never ending, and it's every single day I get emails with new research and new studies that have come out. And,
now, I had to go back, but it was so interesting the first time that you were on. You talked about the lady that you had dealt with.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
No, because it was a very interesting point when you brought it up the first time. I believe she was in her 80s or 90. How old was she?
I always tell the story about to all my new diagnoses, patients with a new diagnosis of diabetes. The worst day I ever had in nursing was a day that I had two patients with diabetes. Mm-hmm. One of them was 90. And she had lived with the disease, type 1 diabetes, over 50 years.
Type 1,
over 50
That's
years.
That's encouraging.
And I had not seen this yet as a nurse professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm not at liberty to give any more detail.
Sure.
Than that, other than she had no complications, and she had lived with type 1 for over 50 years. She was there for elective surgery.
So are you saying?
And the room next to her, I had a 24-year-old patient that had type 1 who was blind and missing a leg. And that day, the reality really hit me how indiscriminate this disease is.
So the 50-year diabetic.
Yes.
We're talking about cow and pig insulin. With needles that look like assault weaponry. It just,
she walked to the doctor uphill both ways. 6 miles in a blizzard through the depression.
You know, interestingly enough, I asked her, the first question out of my mouth was, what is your secret? And she told me that she had no secret. She listened to her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did have was a different perspective. She said she had seen people who were treated the old-fashioned way prior to insulin. So she had seen people on these, we refer to them nowadays as starvation diets.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no glucometers yet. Insulin had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, she said what she did was started taking insulin. She never ate a lot. She always exercised because that was always promoted back then as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw how she ate, what she ordered for dinner, it was very obvious. She ate very modestly. And
small portions, talking about?
Small portions. She didn't, her plate looked exactly like what you would see in the plate method that we give all our patients.
One string bean.
No.
It's not that bad. It's not.
No, but it was well balanced. She had lean meat. I think she ordered fish. She had half of her plate was salad. And then she had a small, modest portion of carbohydrate. And I think she had real potatoes.
Sure.
Mashed potatoes. But it wasn't a very big amount at all. I mean, mm-hmm. she probably had half a cup on her plate.
And an eclair.
No, I don't recall that.
Balanced diet.
Let's go to the complications. Let's say she ate more like, Dobie. And actually, Dobie, with you, and I make light of you, but it's got to be tough for you on the road.
It is, and I think I'm on the road as a stand-up comic every week, but I think that's a little exaggerated. But the average person, you know, Donna, you don't just work an eight-hour shift. You have a family, and you run late, and you might drive through and have a whatever you're not supposed to have. It's maybe not as a non-diabetic, but you're more aware of it because it's your job.
Right.
Correct? I mean, they all say, you know, carpenters or cobbler's kids have the worst shoes. So, you know, Donna, she's in the diabetes industry, and she's, you know, she made those big pixie sticks, you know, just sugar out of the straw. But no, I tried very, very hard to, but to me, soda is the killer. That is the devil's liquid right there.
That is the one thing we always ask everybody to give up right off the bat.
Oh.
Because it comes down to a choice of either you're drinking your carbohydrates or you're going to eat them.
Yes.
And one 12-ounce soda is like 43 grams of carbohydrate, and that's what most people require. I know my body requires 30 grams of carbohydrate at breakfast, 30 at dinner, 45 at, or I'm sorry, 30 at breakfast, 30 at lunch, 45 at dinner of carbohydrate.
So a head of lettuce and a Dr. Pepper does not constitute
dinner. If I choose to drink a regular soda, then I'm giving up a meal.
See?
One soda.
That's what it is.
Just one. And yeah, so if you go to, let me throw this at you, okay?
Oh, please. Let me put on bulletproof garb.
Now, given that criteria I just gave you,
mm-hmm.
most people need 35, we'll say if you're a 6-foot man, maybe 45 to 60 grams tops per meal.
Per meal, okay.
Now you think about how much carbohydrate. I would encourage everybody to get a Calorie King book or just look it up online. Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google carb content in a quarter pounder with cheese. A large fry, and a large shake. Mm. The quarter pounder with cheese is somewhere around, I want to say close to 50, 47, something like that. Don't quote me, but it's in
grams
the ballpark.
Grams of carbohydrates?
Grams of carbohydrate.
Really?
Yep. Just in the sandwich alone.
Is that from
Not
the bun?
To mention the fat and the calories and all that. Yep. Oh. Then when we look at the large fry, that's around somewhere around 60, I want to say, maybe a little bit more. And I'm just going from memory, but I would encourage people, look it up. It's going to be in the ballpark. And a large shake is going to be around 140. So that's over 200, it's 240 to 250 grams of carbohydrate in one sitting.
Yeah.
So when we look at how our body utilizes sugar, now carbohydrates are sugar, right? So if I only need 45 to 60 grams of carbohydrate, the rest of that excess is going to result in an elevated blood sugar.
Right.
Now, if it has to metabolize into something, so the liver will take some and store a little bit. The muscle cells are going to store a little bit in the form of glycogen. And the kidneys are going to try and pee some out because your body wants to maintain a balanced sugar level, blood sugar level of between 70 and 110 at all times. Now, if I eat that much in one setting, the rest is going to metabolize into either new fat cells or triglycerides.
I know. To the hips. Goes right.
And your gluteus maximus looks like an inflatable raft.
This leads into our next topic, complications. The rest will metabolize into either fat in the blood or fat, stored fat.
And something has to happen. And let's take the break.
Hold that thought.
Back. We're talking complications and diabetes, diabetic show. Thanks, we'll be right back. The Diabetic Show. My name is Mark Philwett.
And this is a show. Dobie Maxwell is my name. Thank you for joining us. We do have a website. You can ask us questions at any time.
TheDiabeticShow.com or get us Facebook. Those are the two that I would count on for now.
Okay.
And also, we want to thank Donna Swanson. And honestly, Donna, I have to apologize for the things that go on in between the breaks of the show. We've lost so many guests between the second and the third portion.
No, I'm telling you, this is going to work only because we're keeping it down to earth for the average person.
That is true.
And this, I'm telling you, like a no-pest strip, this will be the most popular show on this station. I predict it.
I just noticed that Donna's wearing a Kevlar vest, and things like that give it
all
away.
Fives of people all across the Tri-County area will be our fans. Now, Donna, you said people heard you on the show. Is that correct?
Yeah, some of my patients.
There you go.
Me that.
See, and let me ask you this: last time to keep it human, your was it your school, your son's school was having a basketball tournament?
No,
how did it turn out?
My daughter's
school.
Yes.
Okay, that's right.
How did it turn out?
Oh, I can't tell you. They ended up losing, but boy, it was a gallant effort. They did great.
Good.
We were very proud of them.
Excellent.
Good.
And
deal.
It was a phenomenal that UW the Cole Center.
Yes. Oh, amazing, beautiful place.
Oh, I mean,
Madison?
Great experience, yeah for
totally
the high school
is.
Kids to be able to play there.
Now, we would like to eventually have your daughter on only because from a childhood, she's a teenager, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's got to be a whole different mindset, I think, not only for her, but for the parents. So sometime will she come in with you?
Oh, yeah. I talked to her about it.
Beautiful.
She's all psyched. She's
beautiful.
Very
excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Make her sign that disclaimer. Okay. Okay. You're diabetic. We'll use me being a type 1, getting a little lax, having a few more carbs than I should, maybe eating a little bit too much, not taking things seriously as I should, and it's happened a lot. My A1C would go to say, and with A1C, let's give you some vocabulary. A1C is, in essence, the lifespan of a red blood cell and the sugar that it's carrying.
It's not a low-calorie steak sauce.
Around 90 days' worth of red blood sugar counting, I guess. And then they give you this number, and it is an A1C. Donna can tell us what it is, but let's keep it. I'll lose it after the A. But you should have it 6 or under. Was that, Donna, would you be happy if you're diabetic? Would come in at 6 for an A1C?
Yes, I think 6 would be great.
I mean, that's almost non-diabetic, right?
It's like the Richter scale. Under 6, you can still live.
But let's just say, boy, you're playing fast and loose, and you come in at 8 or 9, or I've seen 12s for people. Not
really?
Me think, oh, sure. I mean,
who, the gingerbread man?
At least. Okay, what happens to the gingerbread man with this 12-plus A1C? Retinopathy, neuropathy. Let's start with neuropathy. I've had the beginnings of it in my life, and I've been diabetic since 87. It's almost like your foot fell asleep, almost like a needle and pin feel towards the toes. Yep. Now, for me, my wife is big on supplements. She gave me something called lipoic acid. For me, it worked great. Literally within 2 months, and this has been 5 years now, no more.
I think Timothy Leary used to take that.
What didn't he? So the point being, at least for me, that worked. But I see a lot of commercials about meds on TV. In my mind, far too many. Because what do I know what this drug does for you? Ask your doctor. And then you see the side effects. Are you ever going to try that drug? No. Talk to us about the neuropathy.
So that is a great question, and that's a great story because that is so common. I mean, what you just described is very common for a lot of people with diabetes. And you think about people with type 2, a lot of times they're pre-diabetic for years and then can walk around with diagnosable type 2 for years. So that gives a lot of opportunity and time for complications to start. So the one thing that we know first and foremost about all complications that affect our vessels, veins and vessels, is that they all result from elevations in blood sugar. So the 90-year-old I was telling you guys about earlier, the reason she was so successful is because she maintained her blood sugar very well. She had very well, not to say that it wasn't elevated at times, but she did a pretty good job of keeping it, I would say, keeping it under control for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about neuropathy, it's very common when somebody's first diagnosed to have some subtle signs of it already. And exactly what you described, pins and needles, numbness, tingling. As it progresses, people can get sensation burning. And
kind of like being in love.
Tingling, I don't know. Burning. I've never heard anyone describe neuropathy pain like love.
You haven't seen some of my love people.
So Dobie obviously has never experienced. Have you experienced neuropathy?
I have not.
Yeah. Ask Mark about it. Yeah. It doesn't feel
I know he has. I'm not making fun of it. I haven't experienced it yet.
Well, no, for me, compared to the first marriage, a little less painful. So.
Loveopathy.
But generally, you know, it progresses, or it can progress. It doesn't have to. And one of the most exciting things for me to share with my patients about neuropathy is that we used to think once somebody had neuropathy, it's just there. There's nothing we can do about it.
Irreversible.
Irreversible. And sometimes the meds work. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to try. I mean, there's a number of meds, Lyrica, gabapentin. There's a lot of supplements that people try, that sort of thing. I would encourage anybody that is seeking medication options for neuropathy pain, see their doctor and ask their options.
Is it always feet, or can it be hands or other parts
hands
of the body?
As well. Not for me, but yes, hands.
Okay.
Ends of the stumps, I guess. The ends of your arms, ends of your legs.
Yep.
Where everything makes the turnaround, come back to the heart.
Your head?
The encouraging part of it, I don't know about the head. The encouraging part is that a lot of studies are now showing that if people get their blood sugar under control, that the degree of neuropathy pain they're experiencing can lessen. So a lot of times when people explain, I mean, I've had patients in the hospital that they get this burning, and it can be so excruciating that not many medications work on it anymore. And it's nerve pain is one of the most painful pains that anybody experience.
Yeah.
And like normal pain medication isn't very effective on it.
Right.
You'd need something that specifically targets nerves. So if somebody's trying like your standard
pain med,
yeah,
it's
not going to be real helpful. But some people have, as a matter of fact, I had a patient just the other day that was telling me that when he walks on cool floors, it tends to get better. And interestingly enough, he told me that the only time he gets it is at night, like a few hours after dinner. So when you think about why it might be that time of day, and I can only speculate, but most people have their largest meal of the day. We get the greatest blood sugar rise at that time.
Interesting.
And some of the research is showing that, you know, the symptoms are worse when blood sugar is elevated. And then when it comes back to bed, and a lot of people describe it as intermittent. So the first thing I would say is start testing your blood sugar and see where it's at when the neuropathy pain is at its greatest.
Let's move on to retinopathy, a complication of diabetes, affects the eyes. And we're kind of talking about it during the break. 200,000 cases a year. It can't be cured. Treatment can help. What do you have to say about the retinopathy patient?
So retinopathy is very preventable.
Another one.
Yeah. We want to target that early on. And so the recommendations for, going back to neuropathy for just a sec, foot assessments from the primary doctor and CDE.
And yourself,
yes,
though. Every morning I'm looking at them.
Yes, absolutely.
Or in my case, trying to look at them. But.
Yes. But, you know, you can assess for breaks in the skin, things like that. So we teach our patients what to look for when they're doing their daily self-assessment, sort of like a woman would do a breast exam. When somebody has diabetes, they should be checking and looking at those feet every single day. But the one thing a patient can't self-do is a sensory test, and that needs to be done by the physician or diabetic educator or somebody else, because we check the sensation to see if they can feel on the bottom of their feet. And if you're testing that on yourself, your eyes, you can see what you're doing, so you can't get a fair assessment on that.
Now, you brought in something about retinopathy, the chart that you look through.
Yes, yes.
As somebody who doesn't have the retinopathy, and it scared me. It caught my attention.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, I think a lot of people, especially when it comes to such a slow disease, I call it, hopefully it's going to be slow, it's like diabetes, it wears away gradually.
Yeah.
And if you can almost put yourself in the spaceship, go ahead 10, 20 years and see, if you keep doing this, here's what happens. I think that just slaps me right into the reality state of mind where maybe I put that biscuit down.
Yes, and that is such a good point. And with like retinopathy, our number one recommendation is get into your eye doctor and get that dilated eye exam once a year at minimum. Mm. And that's if you have no complications. If there are any signs of retinopathy, the eye doctor may want to see more frequently depending on the degree of it. But it's real important too to get a dilated eye exam, so they're looking at those veins and vessels in the eye to see if there's any bulging, any change in the integrity of those veins.
Excellent. And this is something, this is an ophthalmologist you would be seeing for this?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I believe an optometrist can do that assessment as well.
I get very confused with the eyes. We'll just say eye doctor, in general. If you catch it early enough, is there a reversal or is it a chronic? Once you have it, you have it.
That one, I mean, I would defer to the experts on that, the eye experts, but yeah. I don't believe it is reversible. But it can be, the progression can be slowed. These complications that occur with diabetes to our veins and vessels, we can stop the progression by keeping blood sugar under control. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, it will progress a little bit, but we can really have a great, great impact on the progression of any vessel-related diabetes complication.
Very good. Thanks for stopping by, Donna.
Oh,
from United Hospital System, we thank you all. You guys are great out there, doing a lot of good work.
Well, thank you for having me.
Before we go, though, we have to make a quick mention, Doug Banks. 57 years old, diabetic for a good portion of his life.
I knew Doug Banks, and he's a champion for the cause of diabetes and a wonderful person.
Great human being. Great guy. Really was. And he passed on this month.
At a very too young age. Very sorry to hear. Much respect to Doug Banks.
Yeah. Complications from diabetes. And in Doug's case, it was kidney issues. And he had kids left behind.
He was a large man, too. Just a tall, large
Larger than life.
Man.
Bigger. I mean, every time he came in the room, it lit up. So,
well, hopefully we can carry on in his honor and a good thing. And what Donna's doing, we thank her, too. So let's keep the show rolling. And if you have any questions, please email us on the website.
The Diabetic Show. Thanks so much for listening.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand aside.